What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Build Up. We are very excited to be back here, consistent again, another visual episode for you. Another pretty interesting week in the life of being a Manchester United fan. And United lost 3-0 to Liverpool in their final preseason game of the US tour. We got some transfer news. We have some, you know, different little tweaks to the structure. We're going to get into all of it here with the usual suspects, Griggs, Abu, Hassan. How you guys doing?
Yo.
All good.
Yo. Me and Hassan dressed up appropriately, you know.
Yes, sir. came ready to stand on business. I guess we can just get right into it. I watched the game today, a day later, and it was like I was out because the game was on at 7:30 at night, so I was at a dinner. But I was just like, I checked the score maybe like hour in, 8:30, and I just see 3-0 Liverpool. I'm like, what could possibly be going on? I'm like hitting the group chats, like, are we just bad or like what's even happening? But everyone on the timeline was saying that we're actually playing well. And then watching the game today, like back, I can fully see why people were saying that. I thought we played the first 30 minutes. We were kind of saying before we started the pod when we were talking that the players look really sharp, really lively, and then I think the travel and everything just kind of got to them, and it kind of dropped off a little bit there. But overall, I thought there were some really, really good positives to take out of it. But I guess we'll go to Hassan first. He did a lot of the work for us this weekend, put ST on his back, a couple threads, a couple posts. You know, everything you saw this weekend was Hassan. So big up to him. But he's probably the best person that we can go to first here about his thoughts on the game. So talk to me, bro.
Yeah, it was the first preseason game I actually watched live. Like, I think apart from the Rangers one, I just stayed up for this one. And I could. It was where we were actually quite good with lesser personnel. I think when you look at United's starting lineup, we had a back four that consisted of Wan-Bissaka, who was probably on his way out, Lindelof, Evans, and obviously a 17-year-old Harry Amos. I thought we played quite well and we pressed quite well with the personnel we actually had. And we saw as well how we're not always going to play Collier deep. If those first 30 minutes especially, you saw how high he was in possession, out of possession. And yeah, before you take a deep dive into the full structure, I thought we just, if we do start the season now without Xerxes or Højlund, I think we will struggle in attack. Rashford, I thought he had like good chances in the first half, but apart from that, it was just there was no like real ball striker that could leather it quickly into the back of the net, because we did have a lot of touches in Liverpool's box as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way with Hassan. Usually when you lose 3-0, I mean, it's just preseason, but you probably look like we thought we played bad, but I thought we were really good. The press was really good. We'll talk about more about the structure that Collier making the underlaps. For me, Rashford was the best player in that front three by far. He was the only constant threat. It only sucks that I think towards the end of the first half, you saw him play a little bit out more deeper and a little bit more out wide. He wasn't getting in inverted as much, which is a detriment to him and the whole team, because you want your best ball striker as close to the goal as possible so he can leather the ball. Because he had one left-footed shot that just skimmed the outside of the post. That was probably his best shot. I thought Ahmad was okay. Definitely his worst preseason game by far. I thought you kind of noticed a little bit of his struggles in terms of cross-field passing. He wasn't really getting the right way to pass in terms of his switching and the crossing and stuff like that. So maybe that's probably, for a player that we keep to all the praise, maybe has one little imperfection, right? Not every player is perfect, all that kind of stuff. I thought Sancho, like Hassan mentioned, no Xerxes and Højlund. First few games, if they're not ready, especially Xerxes, Sancho, the false nine worked against Batiste, but against Liverpool, you really didn't feel his impact at all. And there was one moment where he got the ball and he did about 5 dribbles instead of just shooting the ball. That kind of frustrated me. I'm not gonna lie, bro. To shoot the ball, like, there's no need to take 7 dribbles. I thought the midfield, for the most part, the price of running up high, Collier, Casemiro too. That's probably the only good thing he did. Well, I'm sure we'll touch on him a little bit later. And yeah, the defense, I put out a tweet about the build-up a little bit just before we get more deep into it. without Yoro, especially with Yoro injured now, it feels like it's going to be Licha and Prey. That's about it when it comes to build-up play, if that's what it's going to feel like. So, yeah.
With me, I got a few things. Firstly, I'm going to stop smiling whenever CK speaks, because last week, there's a few times where he posted a few things from him speaking and you just see me cheesing in the background. His aura has got me messed up. I'm not going to be smiling now. Secondly, Hassan's beard is as beautiful as it was last week. Third, from the game, I caught the highlights today and watched the game in depth today. Just to piggyback off what these guys are saying, Yoro's injury has really impacted us, not only in the channel defending, but also in the build-up as well. It does seem like it's going to be Licha and Prey again, unless, you know, we target someone, another ball-playing centre-half, which I feel like we are, because if we go into this season again with Maguire and Evans, as we're just one injury away from them two being our starting centre-backs, and we can't do that again two seasons into Ten Hag. Seems that out of possession, our structure going pressing seems to be a lot better, a lot more organised compared to last season. Maybe that's with the introduction of Rude, that our attacking play looks a lot more fluid as well. As Rashford got a lot of chances, he looks sharp, man. He looks sharp. Hoping for another, hey man. It looks like he's back. He's fluid. You know, maybe him not playing in the Euros, having some time off for once, did him nice. It looks good. The Sancho false nine thing, I think it may be like false dreams. Like, obviously, with Xerxes not coming back and he won't be up to speed that quickly and holding out for another 6 weeks, Sancho's going to get a chance, I think, next week in the Community Shield. So I just hope he plays well. But I don't know. It seems like to me, he's purpose to requirements. And Casemiro, the less said about him, the better. Harry Amash, he seems good. Made a few mistakes, but I think we need to remember he's 17. Like, I've seen a lot of guys clamoring for him to be Shaw's backup this season, which I do get, but at the same time, as soon as he makes one mistake, the whole fan base is going to pounce on him, not realizing that he's only 17 years old. Like, he's good, but he's still quite raw. And Collier looked all right as well. Second half faded off a little bit, but I think we got to understand that our performance was so good in the first half, and it was our second choice back five. I don't really see it as that deep, even though I know 3-0 to Liverpool is never acceptable in any circumstances. But yeah, there's like a few of their goals. It does seem like there's the resurgence of this last season problems, which the cutback was there. You know, how many goals we conceded from a cutback last season, and we conceded from two again in this game. But Ten Hag said after the game, he recognised the problems defensively and he wants to work on it. So let's just hope he works on it for the next week. But yeah, I think overall performance-wise, good. Obviously, results bad. But attacking-wise, looking a lot more fluid and exciting. And that's all you can hope for from preseason.
No, 100%. I think you guys all summed up kind of the bird's eye view of the game really well, kind of the macro perspective. But I think to dive a little bit deeper into the structure and kind of the way we're playing and, you know, some of the changes that we've been seeing this preseason that we hope to see carry into, you know, the regular Premier League season and throughout the course of all these competitions. Or I guess we can kind of, maybe if you guys want to split it up, like out of possession and then in possession, we can kind of start out of possession first. This press, the new out of possession structure, the 4-2-4 kind of can morph into a 4-4-2 depending on what the wingers do, if they're tucking in or staying kind of flat. But it looks good. It looks locked in. I think, you know, obviously I went on my soliloquy about Mason Mount, so I'll keep it short this time. But him kind of leading that press, I think, has been really impactful, especially in the preseason, just having a player that's, you know, works as hard as him, but is also as intelligent as him and kind of knows when to go, when to stay back. The pressing triggers seem pretty locked in. It seems like everyone's on the same page, and it's just nice to see something that works. But I think, you know, obviously when Mount comes out, Bruno's going to probably come into that role. And I think, you know, we've all seen how hard Bruno works off the ball as well. So I think that can work as well. But, you know, there is a concern committing so many people, you know, six players up into that, you know, the opponent's, you know, build up, trying to suffocate them, that you do leave a lot of spaces in behind. And we saw, you know, a lot of times we did regain the ball back in that high press and it did work, but the times that we didn't, there's, you know, we got PTSD from last season, seeing massive gaps, seeing Casemiro dive in and not you know, cover that space. Obviously, Hassan alluded to Collier as well, kind of playing more advanced. So there was still a lot of space in behind. And is that something that you guys think, you know, it just kind of comes with the territory with that press, or are there ways to kind of mitigate it?
Yeah, on the opposition structure, I think the press, obviously, it's not been an issue this preseason anyway, because there's been a lot of times we have regained the ball and it's been an aggressive press even when we're not pressing the opposition in deep build-up, when they're like on the, in the middle of the pitch, when they're attacking, we're still holding higher line. But when we go to the gaps, I don't think they're as big as last season. I think there is some space out of possession, but it was just more prevalent in this game because of the fact that we did field two centre-backs in Lindelof and Evans, who are not the most agile, who are not the most aggressive. Like, if you look at Maguire, he's not the most agile, but he's aggressive and he gets to his man. With, I think it was Liverpool's first goal, there was an instance when they were going down the right and it was just before Wan-Bissaka got the ball. Evans dropped a bit deeper and then Casemiro obviously had the choice whether to go to the man in front or shield the lane for the pass in behind. So he stayed in the middle and then that sort of just obviously sort of domino effect. I think with better centre-backs, we do see us improve. I think the other pre-season games, we've been much better. We pressed Arsenal high, we pressed Betis high, we were good against Rangers. I think most of it will come down to whether we get a midfielder and whether we can get a centre-back in and obviously keeping them fit.
Yeah, kind of the same agreement. I think we all know how important the aggression of the centre-backs is to the press, because the front six, like CK Hassan mentioned, they all know how to press really well. But it's the centre-backs, and Lindelof and Evans are two passive-aggressive centre-backs, especially Lindelof. We all seen him. Johnny Evans is obviously a little bit up in age, so he's probably not going to want to be as aggressive at this point because he's one sprint away from tearing his hamstring and calling it a career. So it makes sense for him, but Maguire would obviously be better. Lenny Yoro, hopefully when he comes back, obviously he'll improve it. Leicha is also very aggressive. He loves a slide tackle every now and then. And then obviously the fullbacks, when you look yesterday, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, his reading of the game is not the strongest. So obviously Dalot will be back very soon. He's back in training in Carrington. His reading of the game is better. Luke Shaw, Amas, he's 17. So his reading of defensively the press is not going to be up to other pros. Obviously he still needs to develop, which is fine. So Luke Shaw, you expect him to read a little bit better. Malacia, when he eventually comes back, he's very aggressive. He's very agile. So he'll help in terms of that as well. So it's just about getting better personnel. My only concern about the off ball will be when the midfield, when Mainu's coming back now, Bruno's a different kind of person than a Mason Mount. Who's going to be – those two are obviously starters, Mainu and Bruno. Who's going to be that third midfielder? That's really the question in there. Because if it's Casemiro, the press will probably fail eventually. Can it be Collier? Is he ready for that? I'm not 100% sure. So it is paramount that we get this midfielder in. I don't know who it's going to be. We obviously, it's just really been Ugarte now, but that doesn't really seem like a feasible transfer right now. So who is going to be that third midfielder? Because for me, that's how detrimental that third midfield spot is, very key into how this press works, because you need someone at the DM spot that can read the game to a pretty good level. Casemiro clearly can't read the game to a good level anymore because, God, that guy, man, I can't speak on Casemiro. Take it away, Albert, man.
I feel like when you say Malacia's coming back, it's like, when's Frank Ocean's next album's going to be? It's just like, where the guy is, he's MIA, bro. Like, he doesn't, I'm not sure he's a professional footballer anymore. But yeah, just like these boys said, the new 4-2-4 other possession structure, I like it. It's actually structure, which I haven't seen for about a year and a half. So that's a massive improvement. It seems that with the new coaches coming in, Ten Hag's really locked in on what he wants to see from his team in possession and out of possession. As you said, we have to replace Casemiro. Like, you're gonna looking at Leicester's game, you're gonna understand why he wants a guard, like a high pressing CDM, to really press up against the opposition. And Casemiro's legs have just they've been shot, strung up, hung up, quartered, something. They've literally just gone. Needs to go Saudi Arabia right now. Just please, just someone. I'll pay for it, man. Just someone make him go Saudi. Honest to God. Yeah, and like you said, with Lindelof and Evans, like, not really the most aggressive centre back duo. Like, you could really picture Martinez and Yoro both pushing up really high and doing well. especially because with Martinez's high game IQ and Yoro's physicality, that would be a perfect centre-back partnership, especially in a pressing system. But now with Yoro out for 3 months, I feel like we do need a backup centre-back, which is why De Ligt's coming in. I feel like with De Ligt coming in, he's a physical beast. He's got PMP in abundance. So I feel like he really helped with that press as well. In possession, we're building up with a 3-1-6. It's not my favourite. It's not my cup of tea. But, you know, if it's working so far, it's working. Requires a lot of moving parts for it to work. We can tell why we need a new CDM again, because that's a highly specialised role within that build-up position. And I'm really enjoying the fact that we're actually trying to press high for once and not just, you know, just falling back like 50 yards and having a massive gap in midfield. But as again, like I said, with it being pre-season, it's pretty good. It's a good sign so far. And I feel like with the players coming back and a few more players being signed, we could see a lot. We could see that structure, you know, continue on and build on it as the season goes on.
Yeah, for sure. I think you touched on a couple good points. Like, it's just good to see that there's a plan. Like, there's an idea that's here that we're trying to execute. You know, obviously, it's not going to be perfect. You know, there's always going to be little holes and things to fix, especially with kind of the state of our squad right now. We obviously don't have a perfect squad. We don't have a perfect midfielder to play in that role next to Kobe right now. But, you know, it's good to see that there's a plan in place and an idea that we're trying to execute and that it's working, at least for now. But I think we'll learn a lot from that City game as to what he wants to do. But I guess we can move on to the in possession stuff. Again, it's hard for me to tell if a lot of this is circumstantial because we've seen some different things, you know, in the Arsenal game, and I can't remember who we played first, Rosenberg. We saw not a 3-1-6. We saw like a 3-2 or like a 3-4 with Onana kind of splitting the center backs and then Amas or whoever was playing inverting into that midfield next to Casemiro and kind of some of the wingers, Rashford dropping deep. If that first Arsenal goal, if you remember, that's kind of allowed that space in behind. So, but then the Betis game and this game, we saw a little bit more of the 3-1-6, but I think it's more circumstantial, to be honest, because of the players that we're playing and the squad that we have right now. I think at its, you know, prime with Kobe and the team and everything, I don't think we'll see too much of that this season, or at least I hope not. But talk to me about what you guys have seen in possession and some of the tweaks that the staff is making.
Yeah, on the 3-1 point. So yesterday I thought we did play a 3-1, but a lot of the times it wasn't one. And I think if you just look at how I touched on this in my thread as well, I thought Amas was inverting and he was joining Casemiro. So it's based on the variation of the fullback arriving into the pivot to create the two. So then Amas would arrive there to create the two. It'd be a 3-2 or it'd be a 3-4. Then it allows Collier and Mount to obviously be high up the pitch as well. I think this season on the sort of 3-1-6 point, I think United do have a sort of plan of how they're going to overload the middle of the pitch. As last season, we didn't. It's more about just the rotations and different players understanding them, and it's nice to understand that he was inverting a lot into the pivot, and then when not, he was dropping to the back line, and then when it was the 3-4, it would be Rashford fully on the left, and then obviously Amas part of the three behind. So it was nice to see in build-up. I think we overloaded the numbers quite well, but again, there was a lot of people saying Evans and Lindelof, they're just not the most progressive. They're not picking the passes through the lines. They're just too slow. They're just too passive in the passing of the ball. So yeah, for me, yesterday's game, obviously it's just pre-season, but there's a lot of things that plug the issues with just better centre-backs. It's just, you don't need the best centre-backs, you just need some that are just competent. And it's more so the profiling. I think if you just have some centre-backs that are just aggressive and they can pass through the lines, you'll be okay. So someone like, if United got Chalobah and he obviously played a few games, it'd be better than what we had yesterday.
Yeah, I think in possession, actually, I think we saw that we missed more of our personnel in possession. Obviously, Licha and build up specifically because of how progressive he is. Luke Shaw, he's much more progressive than Amas. He's obviously a technical genius. Dalot, Wan-Bissaka, that's very obvious to say as well. And then in the midfield, Mainoo, because Mainoo just he can help you in build up, obviously. He can help you in the second phase if he wants to, and he can also help you in the third phase, which makes him so good. And United definitely needed that in the midfield. I thought it was okay. I didn't really like Amas inverting, to be honest, because that left Rashford by himself and on the left. And we saw last year with Rashford, when he does not have that overlap option, his game goes down a little bit more. And we've seen in preseason, when he's had that overlap option, he's been the best player on the pitch between both teams. It's so evident. So I think in terms of when I'm inverting the fullback, I'd much rather him prioritize inverting fullbacks on the right-hand side. And even when Dalot and Shaw come back, I think Dalot is personally better at inverting than Luke Shaw anyway. I think Luke Shaw is a much better overlapper. So I'd much rather him prioritize that. And also when it comes to like Ahmad and Bruno would be on the right-hand side. Ahmad can tuck in. Bruno can go out wide to play more crosses in. So you're a little bit more flexible on that side. And yeah, I just think also Bruno, I think we missed Bruno in terms of the final third. I like how patient we were in built in terms of the final third. When we got the ball, we're making the extra passes instead of rushing stuff. But there were moments where you just wanted the tempo to be a little bit quicker. And that's what Bruno Fernandes gives you. Yeah, sometimes I know it can be frustrating at times, but at the end of the day, he is a final third machine. And Mason Mount, he has a lot of strengths, but what Bruno beats him at is in possession, that final ball. Just be able to create that moment at the moment of magic. Bruno can give you that. So once our personnel comes back, I think in possession will thrive a lot more. But the signs look good with just his personnel. With better personnel, it would look nice.
Yeah, to piggyback of what Greg said, I think we can only caveat our criticism until our personnel come back, as then we'll see the full, you know, what the system can bring us. I think with Harry and Mas dropping deep into the back line when building up from possession, I think he tried the same thing our first game of last season against Wolverhampton, in which we got battered on the pitch, but we still managed to win 1-0 by some judge. And Luke Shaw was inverting into the three, into the build-up. And I was like, if you want to invert, do on the right-hand side. Don't do on the left, because you take away A, from Rashford's game, and B, from Luke Shaw's game.
If we invert Wan-Bissaka, then we'd be looking at a lot more problems. So.
That boy's going to get dope. Like, literally, he's on his way out.
A polar bear in Arlington, Texas, right there.
What's a polar bear doing in Texas? Literally. No, I feel like that's why we're targeting Mazraoui, so Mazraoui can invert from the right-hand side to allow Luke Shaw, or if Harry Amass is the backup, to fly, or Malasia, whoever that individual is, don't remember what he looks like anymore, to fly on the left-hand side and to overlap Rashford, as I feel like we should try to get the best out of Rashford, and, you know, he needs an overlapping fullback. Don't think inverting really helps with our team. Like I said, I can only caveat as to what we say in possession. Attacking wise, we look all right. Create a lot of chances for Rashford in this preseason and for Ahmad. You know, with them two bad boys on the wing, I'm telling you now, Salah, Mane, they don't care about them, man. I care about these two. Rashford and Diallo is going to cook this season. I'm telling you now, book it. This is the banker. They're going to cook this season. And with Xerxes coming back, I feel like in possession, we'll look a lot more fluid, as we know what his strengths are. So, yeah, a few hiccups, but as I said, can only wait until our players come back from injuries and our players come back from the Euros, from the holidays. But it might be a case of what happened last season, which we were saying, wait till our players come back, and Ten Hag doesn't have no plan B. So let's just hope that's not it again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Hassan alluded to it earlier, and it was one of the things that jumped out to me a lot when I was watching, is how Collier's positioning throughout the game and how he was playing with Casemiro and how he was fitting in terms of his dynamic in the midfield. I think we compared, and I think a lot of people have kind of seen the comparisons with Declan Rice, and you kind of seen last year, you know, a lot of people going back and forth as to what Declan Rice's best position is, where his abilities are used, could be most useful to the Arsenal team. And a lot of people would say it's a little bit higher up the pitch, not playing in that traditional lone six role. Just I think Collier and Rice share a lot of the same qualities, especially physically, like Collier's ability to eat ground. Every time he drives with the ball, I'm like, I'm in awe. Like, oh, like this guy is so such a powerful athlete. I've said it time and time again, but it's just so crazy to see coming from like Casemiro to him in terms of like carrying with the ball. but we saw him a lot higher up the pitch this game, making those underlapping runs. And just we kind of saw a little bit more of the attacking patterns that I'm sure Rude has had his imprint on, and Ten Hag as well. Hassan, what have you been saying there?
Yeah, on the attacking patterns. So last season there was a lot of us annoyed that Rashford wasn't being used as an inside forward when the season before it wasn't. It was very tough to see because we didn't have the left back as well. Natural left back anyway. We had Dalot obviously and Wan-Bissaka playing there. Malacia was out. Shaw was injured for most of the season. But I think this season we're kind of seeing he does start on the touchline because push obviously Collier up, whoever's going to be in our left centre mid role, whether it be Cobby, whether it be Mount when they're playing. Then the left back and Rashford or whoever's been left wing will mostly rotate. And I think before we do get in the final third, our fullbacks and our wingers do stretch the pitch quite a lot. So one time it'll be the left back stretching the left side of the pitch and the right winger stretching the right and the right back inside, and then it could be flipped on the other side as well. So if we do maximise the width when we do get closer to the box, I think you start to see how it's the concept of minimum width. It's how we sort of get bodies very compact, close together when we're just in that final phase of the pitch trying to score. So I think once we do that more, once we have a better left back in, and once we obviously attack more, we'll see more of Rashford, and we'll see how him actually starting on the touchline and then us getting to the middle of the pitch will actually help, because if we do lose the ball, it gives the players a chance to press and regain the ball rather than everyone being sort of out wide or it's just basically getting the players freedom to express themselves within the final third of the pitch, but that just can't happen if we're not getting into the final third of the pitch with patience, and this is where it goes back to maybe getting a midfielder as well. So
yeah, I think that's a great summation of everything that we've kind of been seeing, and just this preseason as well. I think we go 2-2 this preseason tour. I think that's right.
Not sure.
2-3 2-3 Yeah, I can't remember how many games. It seems like this preseason went by so fast. It was actually crazy. But yeah, preseason is over, and now every game matters. From now until the end of the season. It's crazy that, you know, it's August 4th right now, so 12 days we play our first Premier League game. We have the Community Shield on Saturday against City again. I think we saw a lot of good things this season, some bad, a lot of things that are just like, it's you know, obviously the injuries, which we'll touch on later, is the worst part of it. But I think the fact, again, that we have an idea in place, and I just really want to see it be implemented in games that actually matter, not just preseason like we saw last year. You know, stand on business, for lack of a better term. You know, come into the season and stick with your principles, stick with your guns, pick the right team, pick the right players, and let's get after it. But yeah, Community Shield on Saturday. I'm going to go to Griggs. Like, what are you kind of seeing? I guess, what are your kind of summations of this preseason tour, I guess? And what are you feeling heading into Saturday?
To summarize the preseason, we have our wing pairing solved. That's good. That's a good start. We know who our wingers are going to be. Midfield, we probably found a piece that we know could be used as the option in terms of squad and Collier. Mount has also had a really good preseason. For the most part, I thought last night was probably his worst game, but he's had a really good preseason against Arsenal. That game always stood out. So hopefully he kicks that into the season. The defense is all the only issue because we only saw one. We saw two center backs that we would want to see in the rotation this season, Maguire and Yoro. The other ones we really don't want to see at all. So that's not as much as a summary. But, yeah, but in terms of the Community Shield, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried if you look at who the center back pairing is going to be and how Erling Haaland has looked in preseason so far. He looks ready and sharp. So that could be a bad omen for next week. But I'm kind of hoping next week, obviously, it's not going to be a game plan next week that we can really take into the season because we're playing against Man City and we know Ten Hag will probably go a little bit more passive and stuff like that. But I do want to see the same transition threat that we had against Arsenal against the Man City. I know it's not going to be as easy without Hoyland and it's going to be probably a central false nine, but it's going to be Sancho, at least not Hannibal. So I want to see a decent amount of transition threat, kind of similar to what we saw against them in the FA Cup final. Because I think Bruno's going to play next week. Knowing Ten Hag and Bruno, Bruno's not missing that game. As captain, he's going to want to lead the club out at Wembley. So he'll be back. I think Licha might even be back too. So I expect a lot of our players to be ready. And I just want to see a decent game plan that we can get at least confidence going to the first game against Fulham. And was it CK what you said, 16 days time or something like that? 15? So, yeah,
for me, it's Ten Hag said era's come to an end. Klopp's gone. It's Pep's last season. Let's start it off with a bang. Let's rip that Community Shield from him and smash it all over his bald head. We're coming for it. We're getting it. But for me, I think, as Griggs has said, Haaland's like a robot in preseason. I'm in two minds. I do expect Ten Hag to go back to a similar way and how we played in the FA Cup final. But for me, I'd rather us try and carry on the way we played in preseason. The reason so is because it doesn't... I know Community Shield is like this big morale boost that we beat CE, oh my God. But it's not really a sign of how things are going to come within the season, as we've seen that many times. But for one, I'd rather us try and continue how we're going to play. Even if we lose like 3-0 like we did against Liverpool, and it's on national TV, it's kind of like, so what? We're trying to build a process and let's try and continue on with that process instead of just stopping and trying to get a one-off result. I feel like that would be better for us going on to the season. Even if we had Lindelof and Evans and it does become part like 3-4... Neil, I just feel like it's a charity shield. Just try and continue on with what we're doing. Let's just get better. Let's just get used to the system.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, God, just the injuries are so annoying. It's like the two people that we just couldn't have get injured got injured, especially Yoro. I'm just thinking Wembley, Licha, Yoro, center back pairing, and the Community Shield would have been so special, man. And we're going to have to wait. Now, United have announced 3 months for Lenny Yoro with a metatarsal. I don't know about you guys, but when I heard the word metatarsal, I just got crazy flashbacks. I felt like a war veteran. Rooney, Licha, it's just not looking good. And now that it's 3 months, I think that means that he's getting surgery, because with a metatarsal injury, when the bone is actually like displaced enough, that's when you have to get surgery, and that's when it's like a longer time, because at first they were saying 6 weeks, but I think that's with no surgery. So yeah, just absolutely brutal. Hoyland as well, not as major, kind of like we alluded to on the pod last week, 6 weeks, but obviously not great. You know, you want him to have a preseason, you want him to play the Community Shield, you want him to, you know, go into the season with confidence. And kind of, he looked so good in that first 10 minutes that he was on the pitch against Arsenal. So two, you know, big setbacks for United. Luckily, we have Xerxes. It's going to take some time for him to be, you know, I guess, you know, get up to speed with the club and the players and the Premier League. But yeah, just based off that injury, I guess we can kind of talk about this and transfer news as well. How do you think that affects... First of all, what are your thoughts on the injuries, and then like the length of time, and then how does it affect us in the market, would you say?
I think overall in the short term effects is quite bad, but in the long term it could push United to sign obviously more centre backs. I think we were going to sign two anyway, but ideally, I don't think we'd do it. I'd want De Ligt and Chalobah, or I'd want Branthwaite and one of them, but it's going to be a tough ride if we do not sign a centre-back, but I think we will. The De Ligt deal looks like it's obviously very advanced. I think we'll reach something to get him and Mazraoui. So it does give the club obviously a push to act in the transfer market. And with that injury, of course, well, this isn't an injury, but Casemiro does sometimes play like he's injured. So
that's an injury, bro. That is an injury.
I don't know to go for him. He's just obviously, he's not like a set six that will fix everything for us, but he will give us some sort of security. He'll add some sort of competent abilities at the back. But other than that, it's just sad to see Euro go, but De Ligt will be good cover if we do bring him in. And with the strikers, personally, I'd try Bruno or Mount in that false nine role. I wouldn't put any other players there. I think Sancho, it's looked fluid, but it just hasn't worked up front. I think other players can be like more of an asset there.
Yeah, pretty similar with me. Obviously, Euros 3 months is quite a long time. Thankfully, I think there's a couple international breaks within those 3 months, so maybe the game miss total won't be as high as it typically would have. And like Hassan mentioned, it forces the club to go buy a center back. Ideally, I'm not gonna lie, United probably need two center backs, not just one. If life was perfect, but life is not perfect, so we'll probably end up with one. It'll probably be De Ligt. Branthwaite would have been nice, but that's for next summer, unfortunately. And yeah, the only thing that sucks with De Ligt is that he won't have the chance to get eased in either. It's going to be the same with Xerxes. That's what's so good about having Haaland already, that you could have eased Xerxes into the system, into the Premier League, but now he's pretty much going to get thrown into the fire, similar to how Haaland was last year because Martial was injured. So that's life at Man United. It's never an easy start, but hopefully they're good enough to to get started. And Haaland, 6 weeks. It's not the end of the world. Like Hassan mentioned, we have a couple of players that can play false nine. Bruno false nine looked really good at the end of last season as well. So I wouldn't be opposed to see him playing it until Xerxes ready to start. And yeah, man, we just have to go get signings. Midfield is a priority, but we don't have any tangible links anymore to any midfielder. I don't know why. Maybe because Kyle McTominay hasn't left yet, because Fulham are one act broke, even though Tony Khan wants to go get AEW to Wembley anyway. So I know you could pay up for Scott McTominay. You got the bread, bro. That would be nice. But Fofana, I take him. No Ugarte. I'm trying to avoid those links as much as I can. Like, I'm just praying every day that we don't get Ugarte. But you never know what could happen. United want to mess it up at the end most of the time.
I think for me, it's with Ugarte. I think the reports are now it's a loan with an option to buy. And if it's a loan with an option to buy, as a one season, I wouldn't be too opposed to it per se if it's just one season. However, it's an obligation to buy, then I'd be annoyed. Like Riggs is right now, like he's seething. I feel like our midfield does need a few reinforcements. It looked a bit lightweight, but Mainu is coming back. But even with Collier in there, because I'm expecting McTominay to go, we do need reinforcements, but it seems like we need to sell before we can buy. And ideally, like these man said, we do need two centre-backs, De Ligt and maybe Branthwaite. But as Greg said, Branthwaite may come next season, even though Everton fans are moving cockish and they want us to buy him this season desperately. I've never seen it before in my life where just because we don't buy your centre-half, you're now posting comps and saying, how did United not buy a centre-half? We get it, you're broke, but that's just that chair in the corner, cook behaviour, bro. Just relax. We'll get him next season. But like, yeah, we're going to get De Ligt. And I feel like Vigioro, even though like 3 months is going to be out, but then how is he going to look when he first comes back in this high pressing system straight away? I think he'd get used to the Premier League, like the physicality of it, because the French league is almost similar when it comes to physicality. Like a lot of players have mentioned as physicality, sometimes in the French league is even a bit more physical. So I feel like the injuries could be a blessing in disguise, like Hassan said, could push us into buying a centre half. And hopefully it's in the midfielder, but the links are not there. I do want Fofana, but it does look like the link, the Mazraoui are going to come. But even then, you still feel like we need a bit more, but we can't solve all our squad issues in one transfer window. So if the link, the Mazraoui come, I'd be content, not really happy. I feel like we need a bit more.
Yeah, I'm on the same page there. I think if I hear the word sell to buy one more time, I swear to God. It's literally the worst three words in the English language right now. but that's the situation that we're in. You know, obviously we made some mistakes in our past, signing the likes of, you know, Anthony Dos Santos, Casemiro to a 350K a week deal or whatever outrageous wages he's on. And now we're paying the price. And it puts us in a situation where we have to offload some of these players who are on crazy contracts. And now we can buy players that we desperately need. But I think the Mazraoui De Ligt deal, as Abu said, it's just like, it's a solid deal. You know, the players that we need and whatnot, it's not going to get you off your seat or anything, but it's a good deal. And then, yeah, summer 2025, Wharton, Branthwaite, talk soon. Just talk soon. But yeah, I think that's it for today. Just wanted to, again, thank you guys, people that are watching and supporting for everything. It's been an insane preseason for us. We started, like, obviously wanting to ramp stuff up, and it's just been well received by everyone. I think we grew, like, was it 9,000, Hassan, on Twitter just throughout?
Yeah, we doubled our followers in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's still just growing crazy. I'm looking right now, we just passed 18,000, like right when we started, and now we're almost already at like 18,500. So you guys have been going crazy. We really appreciate it, and again, it just keeps us motivated to, you know, keep pushing out stuff.
We're gonna try to diverse our content as well into video form and etc., just to make it easy.
Listen, it's called a takeover. Just like Noah Lyles, bro. We're talking our shit and we're gonna back it up. We're gonna be the biggies by the end of the season. I'm telling you now. We're gonna be the biggest.
Talk about it before. Just like planned in silence and then just went about. It's so awkward.
Yeah, it's calm. But no, just big thank you to everyone. This is just the start. But we will be back after the Community Shield game to talk about that and get ready for our first Premier League game of the season against Fulham. I can't believe the Prem is already back, but I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. But until next time, peace.